is episode 10, and my name is Youngboy DeWitz, a.k.a. Berlin the Don, a.k.a. Lynn Burton, a.k.a. the People's Champ. We're here on a Saturday, and how you doing, Cam, man?
Dude, I'm doing good. I got in a minor car accident yesterday.
Whoa, pause, man. You didn't even tell me about this off camera.
No, yeah, I'll say Jesus. That.
Jesus.
But it's actually an interesting story. So I'm taking a left, and I turn into the turning lane, which I learned in driver safety school the other week. It's perfectly fine. It's not illegal. No problem. But anyway, I turn into the turning lane, and I'm getting to the right lane. And then it was a two lane, so the other car in the furthest right lane was merged. Anyway, we hit.
Jeez.
Pulling, and it's Leonard Fournette's baby mama.
What the fuck?
So
wait, were you in BR?
No, I was in Lafayette. She goes to UL.
Oh my gosh.
She's a nice girl.
Damn, that's what's up. Shout out Leonard Fournette's baby mama.
Shout out Leonard Fournette.
Yo, that's crazy.
Anyway.
What the fuck? So, yeah, like I said, this is episode 10, the start of phase 2. Like we said last week, phase 1 is over. Now we're here, we're grimy, we're in it 10 episodes deep.
Boom.
We're doing interviews, we got 2 new shows, we got merch. We're here to stay, ready to go. And to start off phase 2, we got none other than Lafayette's finest, the young boy on the scene, DJ Clinic, my boy. I call him Baby Cheeks, a.k.a. Chris Young. But everybody else, y'all better call him DJ Clinic before I give y'all black eye. What's up, Chris, my guy?
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all having me on here. Been good. Everything's good. What about y'all?
We've been good, man. Just hustling, you know. That's why we got you here, because, like, I've been seeing your hustle in the streets. Like, I remember when you first started DJing and producing, and like you started off slow, like if you don't mind me saying, you started off a little slow.
Yeah,
but like now, like you're in your lane, you found your zone, and like now you just gotta tap that. And like, I'm glad that we have you here on the podcast, because wouldn't want anybody else, my guy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, excited to share your story, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's what's up, man, because like I said, I've been knowing you for a while, and you know, we have a history that we'll get into when we get into the interview, but that's like my little brother, so I had to have him on the podcast. But before we get to your interview, me and Cam have some housekeeping to attend to. There was a guy who was traded over the week, and I think that's just the biggest downfall to the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know what we got to get into.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving got traded for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Zizek in the first round draft pick. Me and Cam have not talked about this yet, because he told me, he was like, we're saving it for the podcast. And I was like, all right, let's get into it.
So you said you think that it makes the Cavs worse.
Yeah, but I got to get into my explanation. I can't just say, like, oh, I think it makes it worse. But, like, I don't think it makes them worse. I do think it makes them worse. I think it doesn't allow them. They're not going to be able to beat the Warriors with that team, because.
But they already weren't going to be able to.
I think if they kept Kyrie and made a different move, who knows? They could have made competition. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but they would have to have Kevin Love and Melo and Kyrie and LeBron to beat the Warriors, in my opinion, and that wasn't gonna happen.
I think this was the best move for them in the long term.
Oh yeah, like future wise, this is definitely the best move.
So wait, I'm sorry to cut you off. So finish your explanation of everything.
Alright, so I'll break down the trade, and then you can give me your analysis of the trade. So basically, when I found out I heard about the trade, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. There's 3 takes I take from this. And my 3 takes are, number 1, yo, Boston fans need to chill the fuck out. Burning Isaiah's jersey.
He got traded.
What the fuck? Like, he didn't choose to leave. Yeah. They made him leave. And, like, they were burning his jersey, and I think that's the most disrespectful thing, because that man played a game for those people after his sister died. He could have said, fuck them, and I'm not playing for the rest of the playoffs, but he didn't do that. He gave his blood, sweat, and tears for them, and for those fans to burn their jersey, they need to be fucking ashamed of themselves, and they are terrible fans. If I was Kyrie, it would be like, whoa. Maybe I don't want to play for Boston. If I was Gordon Hayward, whoa, I don't want to play for Boston. So Boston fans, if they leave y'all fucking deserve it, my guys. But that was just my take 1. Take 2 goes into basketball. Isaiah Thomas is worse at defense than Kyrie.
Yeah, he's garbage.
Isaiah Thomas cannot play defense. And they have to run special defenses for them to work. Jay Crowder is kind of a liability on offense, depending on his emotion that day, because Jay Crowder plays on emotion. And nobody knows anything about Zizek. The great thing about that trade is the first pick that they got. So if LeBron does leave, they have somewhere to go for that. And my thing is, that goes into my third hot take, which is, and oh, pause, before I even say anything, this is all from the Cleveland Cavaliers perspective. Okay. We'll get into the Boston perspective after, but this is straight LeBron and everything. My third point is, they should trade LeBron. They need to trade LeBron and get it over with, because
he has a no trade clause, so
he'd have to agree to it. Well, you find a place, you talk to him to see where he'll agree to, because when he leaves in the summer, you don't get anything back. You might as well try to get something back for him right now. Absolutely. And make the core Isaiah, Kevin Love, and those in that pick, and whatever they get back for LeBron. Yes, you have to understand, like, look, you're not going to get anything near worth what LeBron's worth, because if you were trying to actually get what LeBron's worth, you would get a star player, a role player, and 3 first-round picks, in my opinion.
Right, yeah.
Three first-round picks. That's what I think LeBron's worth is.
Only LeBron for a year, though, because he only signs...
And that's the thing. The team that would take on that contract knows they're only getting LeBron for a year.
They would have to have, like, a strong verbal.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to trade LeBron to where he wants to sign and play next year.
But I don't dislike that idea.
I think that's the best thing for him.
I think before they traded Kyrie, he should have asked to be traded and just go to the Lakers now.
Yeah.
Rather than in a year.
Like, honestly, all he's doing by staying on that team is just hurting their, like, future chances of winning. That's all he's doing.
And everyone knowing that he's leaving, he's just gonna, if he takes any breaks during the season, like, people are just gonna think that
it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
And my final take on the Cavs, I know I said I had three, but I remember what I've been tweeting over the past couple days. I think the Cavs are about to implode, like self-implosion.
I think this trade saved them from that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Let me say why I think they're about to self-implode, because, okay, Kyrie didn't want to be there. There was a report that a number of players were upset that LeBron couldn't be a leader and go and squash the beef, because they had problems with the Warriors that they had to go handle. And a lot of people on that team loved Kyrie, and they wished that they could have squashed the beef. Another reason about self-implosion. LeBron's the type of guy that likes to be... What's the word I'm looking for? He likes to sub-tweet. He likes to... He's not very frontal about it. He's very passive-aggressive. He's not aggressive. Passive-aggressive. That's the word I was looking for. He's very passive-aggressive with the way he does things. And I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to take to that well at all. Isaiah is the guy who used to be in the star, and he has an attitude. A report came from Boston that people didn't like Isaiah's leading. So if LeBron and Isaiah clash, that's already a problem. I think the fact that teammates were saying that they wanted Kyrie to stay and they didn't like this trade, Isaiah's going to come in already with, like, damn, they don't want me here. The last and final thing is Shumpert request for a trade. And I know everybody's going to be like, well, fuck, Lyndon, that's just Amon Shumpert. They got Jay Crowder. But that shows that people do not want to be there. They're upset about how things are being handled. And I think this puts a blemish on LeBron, because it shows that he's not the best of leaders. It shows that he's not the guy that can keep teams together. And I don't know. That's just why from the Cleveland standpoint.
I agree. I think the blemish was there immediately whenever. I agree on the blemish part.
Yeah, let me get your take on that.
That was there immediately whenever all the drama happened with Kyrie, and then he came out. Or then it was first reported that LeBron maybe leaked all that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even go into
that. Immediately when that happened, I was like, ooh, that sucks. So I think he just needs to cut his losses with the Cavs, like we were saying.
Yeah, he needs to leave.
And just leave right now. But as for the trade, I think that this does help him by getting Jay Crawford. Jay Crowder. He's like the only kind of stopper that was in the East.
Yeah, he was a very...
That ever slowed LeBron down, now that he's on the same team. LeBron doesn't really have anyone that could slow him down. So I think the Cavs are still going to win.
I think the Jay Crowder trade helps when they play Golden State, that Crowder can guard Durant and LeBron can just be free to help guard whoever.
And I think that... that it's going to be better for the Cavs in the regular season. However, I think Kyrie's better in the finals than Isaiah would ever be.
Yeah.
But I think this is easier on LeBron in the regular season, and he can take more breaks. Because whenever LeBron took a break, the Cavs didn't win a game last year, right?
They might have won some, but, like, when LeBron didn't play, they were garbage, man.
Exactly. So I think he's looking for also someone to take some loads that Kyrie couldn't handle by himself.
Okay. Now, my question to that point is, do we put all that blame on Kyrie? Because, I mean, you got to think, that Cleveland offensive system is not a good offense. Like, they don't have great coaching. It's basically Coach LeBron.
You're right.
I'm gonna be real.
You're right, but if Kyrie is everything that he says he is, then we have to put that blame on him. He needs to take up the initiative.
Okay, I feel that.
No, if he wants to go be by himself like he originally said, like, look at Russell Westbrook, who was by himself and what he did.
I will say this. Scott Brooks coaches for the Wizards. Billy Donovan's a great coach.
That's true.
He's a great coach. And I will say this, that Isaiah played in a Brad Stevens system. I know everybody wants to say Isaiah's the man and basketball doesn't have, in the NBA level, there's coaching's not a big thing, but Brad Stevens is a great coach, and without Brad Stevens' coaching, we would have saw Isaiah's size really hurt him, because Isaiah was able to come off a bunch of screens, it was a very fluid offense, and the LeBron James offense is a
pound-the-ball offense. On Isaiah's
It definitely did.
To get to the rim and stuff, and get those shots in.
It definitely did.
Kyrie, who was the best finisher in basketball, Isaiah was probably in the top three last year.
I agree with that.
And he's the most efficient player.
In the fourth quarter, he was definitely the most efficient player.
So, I think it's going to help them, the Cavs. He gives them another veteran presence.
I'm so torn. So, from the Cleveland perspective, let's give this trade a grade. We're not talking on the Celtics perspective yet. Okay. From the Cleveland perspective, what do you grade this trade?
I graded it a B-.
I'm with you.
I think it's all right.
Yeah.
For Kyrie.
When I said it makes them worse, I meant on defense. I don't think it makes them a worse team. I just don't think I definitely don't think this team as constructed right now can be Golden State.
Yeah. I don't think it moves the dial of worse or better at all, actually. I think it just kind of
keeps it where it's at. I think on defense, it moves it slightly to the worse side.
Just because of Isaiah.
Yeah, because you got to think,
but
Boston.
Crowder's there. He's a great defensive
player. I understand that Crowder's there, but okay, so let's assume it's fourth quarter. Golden State's up by 2 or up by 4. They got to get a stop to win the game.
But Cavs do have D-Rose.
No, I know, 100%. So, but listen to this. D-Rose is also, if you look at his defensive stats, he's not that great either. So who are you starting in the fourth quarter of this in my scenario, my made-up scenario? Who are you putting in the game? And I'll tell you the Warriors group right now. It is Steph, Klay, Iguodala, Draymond, Kevin Durant. Now, who are you putting in?
I mean, I guess you just got to go on talent alone and Isaiah.
Okay.
D-Rose.
All right.
Bron.
All right.
K-Love.
All right.
And then you can't put Tristan and K-Love in.
Please say Crowder.
Please say Crowder.
Okay. All right. Now, let me see. Okay, so out of those five, you have two people who are good at defense. When Kevin Love was in the game against the Warriors, they would single him out in pick and rolls because he was a shitty defender. So you have not only you have one shitty defender, you have two. D-Rose, I'm assuming, would be on Klay Thompson. I'm assuming Isaiah's on Steph. If you run a pick and roll with Steph, and I'm assuming that LeBron is on
KD.
On Kate. No, I would assume they put LeBron on Iguodala unless it's like crucial situations. So you run a pick and roll with Draymond and Steph. Steph can either beat Isaiah or beat K Love. So it's like it's a shitty situation
I
at
agree.
That point.
Like I said, I don't think it helps them against the Warriors at all.
I just think defensively they're a lot worse. But that's just
I don't know about a lot worse. Maybe so. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we're just wait and see. But now let's look at it from the Celtics perspective before we move into the interview. That's the last final thing.
I think it's a good trade for the Celtics.
I think the Celtics, I mean, I'm not going to say they got a steal, but I think the Celtics became a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better. And people are going to be like, well, I thought you just said Isaiah and Kyrie, there's not that much difference. But no, you have to understand. Isaiah's 29. Kyrie is 25. That team's age, 25 with Isaiah. 25 with Kyrie. 27 with Gordon. 20 years old with Jason Tatum. 21-year-old with Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart is about 26. Yeah. Terry Rozier is about 26. The old man is Al Horford at like probably like 29, 30. But that team is young.
That's a good team.
They also still have the Lakers first round pick for next year. Because you know the Lakers aren't going to be that great. So they're going to get a top 10 pick from that pick. They have their pick, I'm assuming. And so that team's only going to get better younger. And now, I think in a Brad Stevens coached offense, we're finally going to see Kyrie coach like he was in Duke. Like how before he got injured. And I know he only played like one game, but still, we're going to see him finally get coached well. So I think we're going to get the best Kyrie, and I think that's going to be his team. And Gordon Hayward is the perfect guy to be his Robin, because Gordon Hayward's the type of guy that doesn't have an ego, and he's okay with being the backup guy.
I think Kyrie should be thanking the Cavaliers.
Yeah, he should.
I think this is the best place for him to go. And, I mean, when was the last time we saw the top two teams from a conference trade with each other?
Like, I think they said the last time was like when the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got traded to the Lakers.
That's
but they were from different conferences. Though. So like, it's been a while.
The Cavs and Celtics played in the conference finals.
They literally helped each other. It's insane, man. That trade blew my mind. But yesterday they said on ESPN that the Cavs might have to try to rebut the trade because they don't know if Isaiah's hips are all together from the physical.
Damn.
So by the time they hear this on Thursday, that this trade might not even happen. So
that'd
if it doesn't, I don't know what's gonna happen. Because if you get Kyrie back in the Cavs, shit's just fucked.
Yeah,
that's definite self implosion.
You have to find another trade immediately.
Yeah, you do. So I don't know what they're gonna do on that part. Let's grade the Celtics trade, because we know what Kyrie's gonna bring. He's gonna be a good point guard. I think we're gonna see him finally be able to facilitate. Thank you.
Dang.
Facilitate the ball very well, and I think everything's gonna be A-OK. So what do you grade the Celtics trade?
I graded this as an A.
An A? Okay.
A even.
Yeah, I graded it as an A as well. So,
yes.
Brosy thing, grades. Now, with that being said, all of that was for our sports fans.
Yes.
Let's get into what the fans came to listen to today, the interview with DJ Clinic, my guy Chris Young, a.k.a. Baby.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't keep up with sports.
Oh, no, that's okay, man.
Don't really chime in there.
No, that was just, we had to do some fan service right there. Cause
you're informed a little bit more now, I guess.
Now, if you go to a party and somebody asks you, what you think about that Kyrie trade? You can say what you think. So, where to begin, man? Chris, let's start off by talking about a little bit about our relationship so that people can know where we stand. I met you, I knew you all through high school a little bit, but we got close.
Did you guys go to the same school?
Yeah, we went to the same high school. We went to ESA together. We got close my senior year when you started playing basketball. And I remember I used to pick you up for morning practice at like 4 or 5 a.m. for us to go.
Damn.
Yeah, and like Chris was the guy.
I remember that shit like it was yesterday.
He was the guy who showed me who the Weeknd was. I didn't know who the Weeknd
was.
Yeah, he really did.
Because
he knew I loved Drake, and he was like, yo, bro, check out this song called The Zone. And from there, we've been friends, man. And I think that built a lifelong friendship between us.
I did too.
Like, he's like my little brother.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
He went like an hour out of the way to pick my ass up from Lafayette. Like, he lives like, how long do you live?
I lived in New Iberia, so.
You live like 10 minutes away from school or something?
I lived like 5 to 10 minutes away from school, and you lived like 30, 45 minutes from school.
Yeah, it was like the complete opposite way, and he came all the way to get my ass. It was crazy.
Yeah, because like, it was, nobody on the team wanted to, like, because Chris was a new guy to the team. He never really played basketball before, and nobody wanted to give him a break, and I was like, dog, y'all need to stop being assholes. And like, that was me and another one of my friends' team. That was our team at this point. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the stand and pick him up and show him that he's included. And from that point on, we've had a relationship. So with that being said, I don't pull any punches when it comes to Chris. Chris knows that when it comes to my opinion to him, I'm going to be honest with him. So at first, when I started hearing his music, me and he knew how I felt about it. It was okay. He wasn't great, but he worked his ass off to get to where he is. This guy, and then performs at Buku, and then he's performing in Memphis, and then getting shows outside of Louisiana. Now this guy's moving. So Chris, let's start off your story about how you got into EDM.
Start from the beginning.
Tell us and the fans what got you into EDM, and how did you begin producing?
Well, I've been playing like instruments, like on and off, like, since, I don't know, I was in like middle school or maybe elementary school. And I kind of grew up on dance music and I guess electronic music. my dad was a DJ back in the day when he was my age. He was actually like a really prevalent DJ.
OMG. Like genetics.
I'm a legacy.
Real, that's what's up.
No, but he like brought me up on a bunch of like 80s like club music and like early 90s club music. And so that's just what I liked for a really long time, still do. But I think that's probably just that foundation of that electronic and dance music that I came up with was why, or it was basically just the foundation for why like I like it now and I guess love it. Like,
do you remember the first time you made a song?
I think I do, yeah. It was a remix.
A remix? Do you remember what song you remixed?
It was a remix, a Jersey Club remix of Say My Name by Odessa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bouncy, dancey remix.
That's what's up. So was that under the label Clinic, or was that
It was.
Okay. So was that
That's been there from the beginning?
Yep.
Nice.
Okay, word. So how did you come up with the name Clinic? Not to detour from that, because I'm going to go back to the...
Well, I spent a really long time trying to figure out what the fuck to call myself. Shit is hard.
Yeah, definitely is.
And I don't know, I wanted the word to look cool.
Okay.
And I have kind of a background in psychology, that's my major, I'm going to grad school. So, I don't know. It just happened. Like, my mind connected the two, and I just wrote Clinic on a piece of paper, changed the C's to K's, flipped one K around. I was like, damn, that looks dope. That was it.
Honestly, that's the best way for names to come about, because if the name is like you, if you choose a name and you're like sitting on it, it won't sound right to you.
Yeah.
And the best way for a name to come about is organically. And that sounds like a very organic name, because I'm going to just say this. When I was picking my rap name, my rap alias, Berlin the Don, that name just came to me out of like fucking nowhere. I was like, I was in history class one day and I saw the Berlin Wall and I was like, oh shit, my last name is Burr. My first name is Lynn. And I'm like, Lynn, everybody calls me Don. So it was just like Berlin the Don. And like, that's how names have to come about.
Yeah.
But to backtrack a little bit, you said that your dad got you into music. And so... who are some of your inspirations from that time of dance music, or just in general, who are some of the people who inspire you to produce music?
One group is New Order. One thing, I don't know, this is just a little bitterness. I just like, I don't know, it kind of sucks to me that like, you think like 70s and 80s music, nobody thinks of dance music, or like, 80s, 70s, maybe late 60s, everybody always thinks of rock, but I don't know, like, it's just like New Order is like just as like revolutionary as all these other like classic rock bands were to me, but nobody knows who they are because it's just everybody talks about the classic rock from that period. But so New Order is it's this band, but they also, like, they use a bunch of synthesizers in their music, and it was some of the, as far as I know, or the earliest dance music that I know, like electronic dance music, and it's really dope. You should check it out.
Word up.
But, yeah.
So New Order, do you have any other influences besides them?
Let's see. Other than that, not just electronic music from the 80s. Let's see, I like Depeche Mode a lot.
Okay.
I like The Cure a lot, The Smiths, I don't know, those are the only names that really come to mind, but from those decades, those are the main people that I really dig.
And you don't have to limit it to those decades, if there are any new age people, because I
or
know...
just dance music, you can, whatever music.
Whatever music in general, but I just know in dance music itself, they had a big revolution, like just a very boom to the... main stage, you would so say.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of new guys out there. I would say, like, the Dylan Francis, the Diplos, the Zeds, the David Guettas, are the guys who are making millions and millions of dollars doing this shit. Yeah. So I just was wondering, like Cameron said, it doesn't have to be just EDM.
Right. Well, there's so many. Like,
give right us now, five.
It's hard, but some people that I am definitely influenced by are Flume, of course.
Okay.
God. Diplo. Let's see. Kind of some people that aren't really, that haven't even really made it yet. Like, well, they've made it to me, but I mean, nobody else is going to know who they are. But like people like Hex Cougar, like these people that nobody really knows, but I just really dig their music and I listen to it like every single day. And so people like that have influenced me. Let's see. Jaws, the God of House. Let's see, who else?
Sorry for putting you on the spot like this.
Cause I have to go listen to all these people.
No, it's all good. Actually, this guy, Wookie, I really, really am I know who that is. By. Yeah, Alex, Jesse Slater's done some shit with him.
I know he's... Yeah. Funny story, I actually like... this is for a later time. I'm not going to put that out there right now, but I know who that guy is, 100%. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Let's see, other than that, I don't know, that's all that really comes to mind right now.
That's what's up. So, the reason why I got you on here mainly is because of the stuff you've been doing on the DJ aspect of it. We just talked about the producer aspect of it, and there's a question I'm going to ask you after we talk about the DJ side of it that is going to be a question that I think is the main crux of this interview. So, DJing, let's get into the main thing, in my opinion, what your biggest accomplishment is, the Buku Show. Talk to me about how that came about, and then how was the show, and how did you feel post doing the show?
I'm from New Orleans, and my family's from New Orleans, so my dad actually does work with Buku, and... He mentioned me to them, and they've been trying to get new artists in. And so I think the way that it happened was that they checked out my Facebook and my SoundCloud and really just like listened to like the couple songs that I had on SoundCloud and were like, fuck, let's give this dude a chance.
That's what's and up. So when so, opportunity yeah. comes, you got to take it.
Yeah.
Is that intimidating for you?
Nah, I wasn't really intimidated at all. I was just like all hype. I was, I've been, I wanted to go to Buku the first year that it happened, but I was too young. The age was 16 back then, but then I went the next year. So I've been gone since I was 16, gone every year since then. So it was a huge deal, like, to be able to play there, like. And you talked about, like, things that have made me want to, like, produce electronic music or music in general. Buku is definitely, like, up there on the list. Like, Voodoo and Buku. I've been going to Voodoo for 9 consecutive years and Buku for, like, 4 or 5 or whatever. But, yeah, so being able to play at Buku, like, just... Like having loved it so much was insane.
I bet that was to me that's monumental. Like as being an artist, and I was so proud of you when I saw you do that. I just was like, damn, my little brother's doing something, man. That was dope. Yeah. So when you so let's talk me through it. You get there, you get to the show, you set up. How was the feeling of starting playing and seeing people in front of you dance to your shit, and you're like, I'm at fucking Buku playing right now, man. Like how the fuck was that?
Man, like, getting there, we had the artist bands and everything.
I bet that was so cool.
They're like, we had like a manager person,
a promoter.
Person that was like showing me around and stuff, like making sure I had everything I needed. And so that in itself was amazing. Like just like having like a person like getting shown around like that. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, when I actually got on, It was, I don't really know. You don't really have enough time to think, right. Or at least I don't.
Like, no, I feel.
I just get up there and it's like.
You just do
really
it.
Really nothing's going through my brain. It's all like, just like actions just happening. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but.
It's just the adrenaline kicking in. Yeah, just doing it.
Yeah, so start talking about performing in general. Like, not just at Buku and other places. Like, does that give you that, like.
That oomph.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's awesome. Especially like playing in a place where, like, I like playing, you know, like, not just, you know.
A random
all
club.
Gigs are different. Some gigs are better than others.
Oh, definitely.
Buku was like the epitome of awesome.
It's like the apex of awesomeness. And then you have these clubs that are like ho-dunk clubs that only two people come to. But those are the clubs, those are the performances that make you who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the people that you have to impress, because if you impress them, next time you have one of that ho-dunk place, they'll be four. And it's you build on that.
No, yeah, definitely. I don't turn down any gig ever.
That's a great
especially
thing.
Especially now, because I'm broke as fuck. So, yeah.
That's the best thing, man, because opportunity comes every so often, and it's... You take the opportunities that come to you no matter the outcome, whether you get paid or whether you don't, because you don't know what can come from that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big things I believe in. So like I said, now that we've talked about your DJing and your producing, the question that I had for you, which one do you prefer? And the reason why I asked that is because you can be a producer, just a producer, and just produce constantly. You don't have to do any shows.
Right.
Or is the DJing thing that gets you up in the morning? Do you want to DJ, like, be that guy who DJs at festivals and do all that shit?
At first, like, I really didn't even have any intention of producing. Like, I, right out of high school, like, I got my graduation money, bought my first DJ controller, which is what I still have, and that was it. Like, I just wanted to DJ. Like, I wanted to play music. I didn't really have any intention or thought of producing music, but slowly as I just like kept going to these music festivals and just, I don't know, just my love and obsession for music grew, I just realized that I want to make my own music, because I have like all these ideas. Like, I'm sure that's how it happens with everybody like they get all these ideas of things that could have been done to this song, or they want to make this like original idea or whatever, and that's how a lot of people just decide they want to start making music, and that's really what happened for me. But I started producing, but now I definitely would say that production is the main thing now. Like, I really don't There's care about switch. DJing. Yeah. I just want to make music.
Okay, that's
but I'm not awesome. I don't not want to DJ. It's just that, like, the main thing is for me is being able to have these finished creations that I'm proud of. But
and then DJing here.
Yeah, and then playing it is yeah. part of it.
Word. See, that's why. Oh, sorry for cutting you off. Yeah. I'm sorry for cutting you off. That's why I asked that question, because I was going to take the interview one or two ways from there. I was going to either talk more about DJ or talk about more about production from that answer. And that was a great answer. So my question is, I listened to all your songs before we started this interview. I listened to it for weeks before. Like, when the first time I called you, I started listening before then. So there's this one song called Say My Name and Dance that has like 3,000 some plays on there. It's hot on SoundCloud. Tell me how that song came about, and just tell me what was your thought process going into making that song?
It's funny, man. Like, that I made that song, what, I don't even know how long it was ago. It's definitely over a year and a half, maybe 2 years. So at that point, I literally knew absolutely nothing about making music. like I am debating taking that down as soon as I like put my new shit on SoundCloud. I gotta finish it, but I actually am debating taking it down. Not just that song, but just everything, so I can just start fresh with like a really solid piece. But anyways, that came about So a lot of days, like, I'm sure y'all know, like, when somebody starts making music, like, the first thing that happens is they try to get their hands on samples and loops and things, like, you know, like...
Definitely.
Like, they find the kicks that they like, and then at the beginning, especially, they use loops of, like, synths to work with, you know, because, like, mastering a synthesizer and making your own synth sounds and chords and everything comes a little bit later, or it did in my case at least. So basically that song was just me like playing around with samples and really just like experimenting for literally the first time in Ableton. And I just, I'm the kind of guy where it's like, it's really hard for me to like let a project go, which is really unlike a lot of people. A lot of people will sit on a project for like 30 minutes, like call it a day, like switch to another project. Like, I can't do that. I start a project, I want to finish it. And so that's really just how that happened. Like, I just kept working on that song and sat on it for like 2 or 3 months, learned a lot, but it actually wasn't even a remix at first. It was actually like an original song. Didn't have any of the vocals in it at first, but then my girlfriend was like, "Chris, that song that you're making sounds really good with 'Say My Name' by Odessa." I was like, "Really?" And so I went and listened to both of them, and it turns out they were in the same exact key. So I just fucking went on the internet, found some stems for that song, and slapped the vocals in there, and
boom,
that's how it happened. Yeah.
Women, I would say, are some of the best ears for like stuff like that. They help you out so much, man.
I know.
Like, without women, I would say men sometimes have a lot of problems, because like
definitely
your girlfriends and things. Like, for me, example, when I have a new song I want to do, first person I show is my girlfriend. Yeah. First person I show, because people will think like, oh, she's not gonna give you a real answer, but that's not true. She'll listen to it, and you can see it on her face.
Yeah.
You can see it on her face. If they like it, you'll know instantly.
Yep.
And if girls like your music, that's how you skyrocket out of here. 100%, because people think that you have to please the male fans, but no, it's the female fans that actually buy music.
Right.
Male fans, not so much. They don't really buy music. It's more so female fans.
Females drive the club scene.
Yeah.
They really do. And not just EDM and rap and all music in general. If you look at country, damn near everybody who's at Bayou Country Fest, yes, there's some dudes there, but I guarantee you the majority of the crowd is females.
Yeah.
Merchandise is a great ass point for that, because females drive that shit. So it was very interesting to hear you say that, but my bad for cutting you off, Cam. You can go at it if you
want. I don't even remember what I was going to say.
So we have some games that I like developed for phase two of this. It's a couple questions that I'm going to ask you that I want rapid fire. So the first one is, if you could do a collaboration with a producer, who would it be?
Flume.
Nice. Okay. I have another one. If you could play any festival, what would it be?
Electric Forest.
Ooh, nice. If you could do a collaboration with any hip hop artist that's not Drake, who would it be?
Shit.
I know, Chris.
shit. Maybe The Weeknd, but like
that's not
4 years ago.
Four years ago. So Trilogy.
Yeah.
Trilogy Weeknd.
Exactly.
For sure.
That's the best Weeknd.
No, 100%. He really was. Because, like, man, as much as I love Starboy and everything like that,
it's not the same
as Trilogy. And I've been trying, I think,
not at all.
As each album comes out, I've been forcing myself to ingest it more, because I love the guy who he was, but he's not the same.
He's not the same, man.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, like,
indeed.
It hurts me, because, like, he makes a great music and he's talented as fuck.
Trilogy was a vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, my final question of these rapid fire is, drum roll, if you could sketch in 5 years, I took it from you, your question, if you could draw out in 5 years where you want to be, the perfect scenario, if everything working the way you want, what would it be?
It would be touring like every day, but also like one thing that is really important to me right now is having a really nice studio space. Which, respect for this, by the way. This is dope.
Thank you, man. This was...
That's all Lumen right there.
Nah, I can't take credit for that. It's not all me. It was a collection of me and my friends of just, like, who wanted to just make good music. You just got to find a group of people who want to just make great music, and you believe in them, and they believe in you. Right. Like, yeah. These speakers are DJ Panties, my friend Rips. That monitor's Nick's. This thing's Nick's. This mic's mine. That mic's JJ's. I mean, it's just like a bunch of people just came together to make the studio what it is.
Yeah.
And
Gumbo Studio.
I love it, man. It's just, it's like, exactly, Gumbo Studio. It just, everybody came in and chefed up this pot, and now we have the bag
cake.
Now
we cooking.
But, so, I think that's pretty much it on the business side.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you have any other, any questions. Now, let's get into who you are as a person. Let's get into what the fans can get a little inside look on DJ Clinic, on who, what does he do when he's not on that stage. And congratulations the other day, by the way, before we get into this. I made a point to come to one of your recent shows. I came to his show the other day. You played at Grand Street on Wednesday, and that place was popping. It was packed, man. I just want to say congratulations on the hustle, because I saw you come from just buying your shit to now doing shows every so often. You're like, yeah, you're making money. That's the thing. When you make money from what you do, it's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, there was definitely a hustle involved.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. If you don't hustle, you're not going to make it in this industry. You
damn won't. Right.
But let's get into who you are as a person. So you asked me a question earlier, did I watch The Defenders? I would assume you're a Marvel fan.
Actually, not really. Like, honestly, I couldn't even tell you who's on Marvel. Like,
you like the movies and the TV shows and stuff?
Yeah, I just...
You're a casual fan.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a superhero fan, probably.
Yeah, kinda. I just like Netflix. I just like watching the shows. It's not particularly superheroes. No, I do like superheroes, but I like Game of Thrones way more than that.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't really like... I don't know. So, no, I guess I'm not really a Marvel fan. I'm just a show fan, I suppose.
So, let's get into some Game of Thrones talk, because that was a perfect little segue. Are you caught up? Can I spoil some shit?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, man. What'd you think about the last episode?
Oh, shit. What happened again?
The dragon. We got the ice dragon.
Shit, dude. Oh, my God.
Do you have any theories yourself?
Well, I mean... There's a fucking ice dragon now. I mean, shit.
Shit's crazy, man.
Dude, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Do you think Jon Snow and Daenerys is gonna fuck?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, man. I want him to fuck so bad. That sounds so gross, but I ship.
It's not gross.
Daenerys and Jon. Oh, I love that show. So, who's your favorite character on Game of Thrones?
Tyrion.
That's funny. That's mine as well.
Yeah, man.
Tyrion's a boss.
Is the shit.
He's fucking up this season now.
You don't like what he's doing this season?
The Casterly Rock invasion. Then he sent them. He had the idea of sending them beyond the wall to go get the zombie thing.
They did,
but
though,
I think
right?
I think yeah, they got it.
They got it,
but at what cost?
But at what cost? And like, why do you?
He did tell Daenerys not to come.
Oh yeah,
to go.
The dragon.
But Jon, I think Jon was gonna go no matter what.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, like, I feel like there could be a better solution than go and get a zombie.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
But then that was Tyrion's idea.
Yeah,
so
that
Tyrion,
was.
So Tyrion was the reason for the dragon dying.
But Jon was going to do what he wanted no matter what. That's Jon. Like, Jon Snow is on a path right now of,
we need to
fix this, and I'm going to do whatever the fuck I got to do to fix this. And also, I think that Tyrion did tell Daenerys not to send the dragon. She only had to send one. She didn't have to send all of them.
Yeah, she did. Only
she was. She. I think Daenerys is becoming. She
get
took
to her head a little.
Yeah,
bit.
She took that lady's advice from the Tyrell lady's advice, and it's kind of like sinking into her head. And I think that fucked her.
Yeah.
Did she burn those people?
Ooh, yeah. That wasn't that smart.
That was savage.
Oh, but back to you, Chris. Give me five shows you're watching on Netflix right now.
Oh, five. Damn, I'm only watching one.
Well, yeah, well, give me some of the shows you like
I'm
to watch.
I'm watching The Defenders. Well, I'm watching Game of Thrones. I just watched this show called Clever Man. It was interesting.
What was it about?
It was set in Australia, and there were humans, and then there were quote unquote hairy people, and they were like, they were like gorilla people, and it was just about like people discriminating against these like
gorilla people.
Yeah, gorilla people. And there was also some like crazy ass mystical like shit in it that I couldn't even explain if I tried. But yeah, check it out. It's kind of cool.
Sure, that's what's up.
Girlfriend didn't like it, but I did.
That's what's up. So you're watching The Defenders. How do you feel about that? Because we haven't done our review yet. I don't know if you watched it.
I'm only on episode 3.
So keep spoilers. Like, did you like it?
Right.
Maybe 4.
I don't know what episode I'm on either, but I do like it so far. But it's okay. Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of those superhero shows, like, I do want to watch it. I never think about not watching it. But it's not like Game of Thrones, you know? Yeah. Like, nothing gives me like Game of Thrones. Like, I just watch it.
That show is special.
Yeah, right? Game of Thrones is a zeitgeist-changing show where... Yeah. And by that, I mean everybody in the cultural zeitgeist is tuned into it. On Sundays, if you miss Game of Thrones, you're not on the internet.
It's become football.
Like, it really has. Dude, like, yeah. That's HBO's most...
It makes me so happy.
It's its most important show since The Sopranos. Like, that show is huge.
Definitely.
Game of Thrones will never be fucking topped, I feel, by a superhero show. Unless it's like they get all the TV right. There's no way. I can't even think of a scenario for a superhero show to overtake Game of Thrones because there's movies. And those superhero movies are the spectacles that people can't go without watching. So with that being said, so you're a huge Netflix guy. Give me some of your favorite artists that aren't EDM. Some music that you listen to in your spare time.
This isn't really one of my favorites, but it just came to my mind right when you said that, so I'm gonna just go ahead and blur it out. Angels and Airwaves. It's a band kind of associated with Blink-182. It has the singer from Blink-182. I can't recall if they have any other
members.
Same members, but yeah, they just popped in my head. Let's see what else. The Smiths, I mentioned them earlier. They are definitely one of my favorite bands. Drake. Definitely.
100%.
That's so you like More Life?
Actually, no. Okay. I don't really like any of his new stuff. It's like...
Really?
I don't know. That's pretty harsh, because I do like songs here and there. There's like 2 songs every album that I dig. Like, but I realized that I was losing Drake when If You're Reading This happened. I didn't like that album.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, but Nothing Was the Same was phenomenal.
Like, great out classic album. Yeah, I will argue anybody to this day that that's a classic album.
I agree.
I think Drake has at least 2 classics. Take Care and Nothing Was the Same.
Yes, Take Care.
Jesus. Some people could say If You're Reading This is a classic, but then you have the ghostwriting things.
Yeah,
so it's like it's a lot. Of stuff when it comes
over
to that.
Over time, Nothing Was the Same. Like, Take Care was classic. Was a classic immediately for me. And then over time, Nothing Was the Same has garnered more respect.
I could say, some days if you ask me, I could say Nothing Was the Same is my favorite Drake album. And then some days if you ask me, I'd say Take Care. So
same.
It flip-flops.
Same.
Are you still a big video game player?
Music production kind of overtook that aspect of my life.
No, 100%.
Thank God.
As you grow up, there's content that just overtakes it. Like I understand that 100%. So when you were a gamer, who are some of the games you used to play?
So I kind of mentioned like how when I produce a song, I finish that fucking song. It's kind of like the same shit with video games. Like, I didn't play a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
I played like 3. But played them a lot. Like, World of Warcraft.
Oh, you were a WoW guy.
RuneScape.
Oh,
and,
RuneScape heavy.
Call of Duty. Like, Black Ops 2. Really just Black Ops 2. I played that game so much. And then Overwatch for a little while. But then that was when music production started happening. So now I just really don't have any interest in doing anything else but making music. Like,
that's what's up. So you said you had a girlfriend, and like I like to get to know my people on a personal level. I'm not gonna ask anything about like what's her name or anything, because I don't want the fans to go like stalk her or some shit like that. That's fucking crazy. But how does it feel to be in a relationship and being a guy that's like doing content? And by that I mean is everybody who we've gotten in, we've asked like, does your relationship affect the work, or does the work affect the relationship? And how are you dealing with that, per se?
I must say, well, I don't know. Yeah, I gotta say that it's probably a little bit different for a rapper
it and is.
What I'm doing.
No, 100%.
Because, like, I don't like words, so it doesn't really affect me much. Like, I'm not writing about my life. I'm, like, writing a song for people to jam to, you know? Like, I'm not really trying to speak to people. But other than that, like, there's another aspect.
Oh, the time.
That is the same, yeah.
The time.
And it's the time.
I know, trust me, I know that struggle.
It's a very prevalent topic. Like, it's really, like, dude, really relevant. It definitely, like, there is a time, I wouldn't say issue, but it is a thing that's happening.
Definitely.
But I love my girlfriend, and she pushes me in so many, like, areas. It's like,
pros and the cons. Like,
yeah, like
100%. I relate, because that's why I asked that question, because the time thing is usually what I see with mm-hmm. everybody who's a creative.
Right.
And it's, they want the time, but it's, they need to, they see at the same time that the time that you're putting in, it's not like you're dicking around
exactly.
going to parties. Something. You're working for something to benefit you. And at the end of the day, if that's the person that you're meant to be with, to benefit them. And
right.
the thing
yes,
you said about
exactly.
The Rock, the thing that they're the support system, without my girlfriend, I wouldn't have the person to bounce these things off of. That,
right.
That's the person who backs me up.
Mm-hmm.
So the quote that behind every good man, there's a good woman, that's a true quote. I understand that quote because it's
real
true. Safe. And
yeah.
That's the only reason why I asked that question. I'm glad that you said what you said, because it's tough, man. I agree and I relate. And I want the listeners out there to understand that, like, if you're in a relationship, there's two sides to every coin. So don't just think of the time aspect as a negative, because there's other things that that person does for you.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why you're in that commitment.
Yeah, so, like, it's definitely worth it. Like, I love my girlfriend, and it's really worth having her there by my side through all this shit.
That's what's up, man.
Head scratches are bomb.
Yeah. Yo, head scratches are bomb. Yo, that is so true.
I'm not giving that shit up for the world.
Me neither, man. So, I'm trying to think. My guy, Chris. Oh, I have one more thing. Tell him how you got the nickname Baby Cheeks. For them who don't know.
I don't know exactly how, but I remember it just happening. Like, you and JJ just... Oh, no, I think I actually do remember how it happened.
Was it MMA?
I think it was in music class. In the jazz ensemble. I had that class with JJ, and like, there were some other people in the band, and we needed a name for the band, and I think JJ just said Baby Cheeks in the gang or something like that, and he was referring to me as Baby Cheeks. I think that's how it happened. And then,
like, hey, yo, Baby Cheeks, come on.
And then it just got pushed along from there.
That's awesome, man.
That's a tight name.
That's him, man. That is Baby Cheeks. If you look
I
at
suppose
him,
I do have Baby Cheeks.
You really do. But it's all out of love. I don't have any more questions for the guy. I think we covered everything. And again, I want to say thank you for coming.
Appreciate it, for sure.
You're part of the group of people who have wanted to be on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I really appreciate
the hustle. I appreciate everything you've been doing. I wish you nothing but the best of success. And just thank you for coming on. Tell the people where they can find you at on the internet, like your social media, your music, where they can find it at.
Yeah, they can find me on SoundCloud. I think my name or the URL thing, it's like SoundCloud/ClinicSound. And then
spell your name for them.
KLINIK, Clinic. And then on Instagram, you got me at Clinic Music. And then on Facebook, I think it's Clinic Sound again. Definitely stay tuned on SoundCloud. I've been working like 10 hours a day, like not exaggerating, on some music and really just I wouldn't say perfecting because I don't know shit in like comparison to all these other like masters out there in the music world, but
you working hard.
I'm working really fucking hard.
Fuck yeah.
That's what's up, man. We're ready for the new music. You can check him out at SoundCloud/Clinic Music. Thank you, DJ Clinic, for coming on here. Thank you, Chris, my brother.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Cameron, tell the people where they can find you at on the internet.
At Twitter @CamJam_ and Instagram @CaptainComerica.
My guy. You can find me at Berlin the Don on Twitter, at Berlin the Don on Instagram. Cameron, this is episode 2. We're in
10.
episode 10. Oh, so I was saying phase. I was getting.
Okay.
We're this is episode 10. Double DJ digits. Clinic. We're on phase 2, man. 10 episodes in, bro. We've been here for 10 weeks.
That's crazy.
The people have supported us. Thank you guys. We have the editorials. We're working on that to try to get it out either this week or next week. It will be recorded this upcoming week, so we'll probably put it out this week. The fantasy show will be out this week.
Get ready for that.
Thank you for everybody who joined in the fantasy draft. I want to say you're going to get your ass whipped. Yeah. You're not getting our money.
Nah.
The bros who think staff will win. But thank you for joining. Nick, thank you for being sound engineer. My guy always. You can find him at SoundCloud.com/NickGrandMusic.
Yep.
And just thank you for listening to episode 10. We are the bros who think. And enjoy your Thursday.
Peace out. Thank you.